As you know, Dan finished these last 3 weeks of study and 21 days of a prayer challenge where we were to ask God to show me, break me, and use me. In showing me to seek that clarity of what is best for me, to break me so that we could be a living sacrifice for His glory, and then to use me to make us useful, to have purpose in our lives of devotion and living for Him. One of the things that I noticed, and I'm sure you noticed in all three of those lessons, was there's one common word in each one. That was the word me. And so this morning, I just want to refresh our minds about what is me. A little time back, I read an article by Ethan Long Henry. He's a preacher down in Southern California. And I thought it'd be appropriate as the basis of this lesson this morning, after those 3 weeks of prayer and the topics that Dan presented to us. And so we had a scripture reading from Matthew chapter 16. Just prior to that reading, Jesus asked His disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And that's when we have Peter's confession, where Peter says that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus then begins to tell them what's going to happen to Him when He travels to Jerusalem, that He's going to have to suffer, that He's going to have to die, that He'll be raised again. Peter, however, does not want to accept that teaching from Jesus. And we're told that He takes him aside and rebukes him. And in turn, Jesus charges him with having his mind on the things of men and not on the things of God. So we can see a couple of characteristics of Peter. The first one, of elation, proclaiming that Jesus truly was the Son of God. But just as important, we see that in his last statement, it's not motivated not by God. It's motivated by his own belief. Peter's me, that is his personal feelings and judgments, came out when he rebuked the one that he had just called Lord. And this me in Peter, Jesus called Satan. So we can see that the me can be a major stumbling block in our faith. It can be a stumbling block to show me, break me, and use me. And as Dan mentioned last week, it's prevalent. Our current society is obsessed with me. Our unofficial way of life each day establishes me as the ultimate standard for truth. Our economic system, which I believe is the greatest in the world, is for the enrichment of me. And there's nothing wrong with that. You work hard. You earn what you have. But we've seen through many years that in many instances this enrichment costs people their riches. And then there's our system of government that theoretically establishes me as the basic unit of getting elected. And I ask, is this becoming the way of Christianity? This me. So what is me? So before we go to the scriptures about this me attitude, I just want to put a few thoughts about what this me is. And believe me, this is not a complete description of me. And I'm not talking about me personally. I'm talking about me, all of us as individuals. Me is when we allow ourselves to represent the standard of judgment in matters. Me could be when we think of ourselves what is right and what is wrong. Me is when we allow our upbringing, maybe society, culture, education, from primary all the way up to college, establishes what we believe. And when it comes to religious matters, me is when we attempt to interpret the scriptures to fit our own preconceptions, instead of allowing the scriptures to change our ideas. Now, don't get me wrong, there's different quantities of me in the world, in each one of us. So let's not think that these definitions fit an overall pattern. For instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the writer concentrates a lot of this on the gifts, the talents, the service that we can do. It tells us that we all have different talents and different uses to be used in this body. If you remember, that was one of the prayer challenges that we had. And these gifts, these talents, and these uses are going to determine by our own individual abilities of me, of what we can and cannot do. We know what we can and can't do to assist this congregation, to assist others. We understand this, and that's not the me that I'm talking about here. Another example is, in matters established liberties that Christ has given us, some people can be more restrictive in that. As long as it keeps them to themselves, there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm not talking about that part of me. What I'm talking about is the me that we have to be wary of when it's used as a stumbling block to ourselves and to others, especially in achieving God's will. That's the me that I want to concentrate on this morning. So what do the scriptures say about this me attitude? And there's a ton of them out there. And I'm just giving you a few. It only takes one. Proverbs chapter 3, 5-8, tells us the following. We need to not lean on our own understanding, but that of the Lord. When we look back in history in the Bible, history of God using men and women to achieve His purpose, God does not necessarily choose any man or woman to work for Him because of their own training or their own ability. We can look at Abraham. We can look at Moses. We can look at Samson. We can look at Rahab, Peter, Saul of Tarsus. They all had their imperfections, but God worked through them. And for a minister of God to be effective, it must be God speaking and working through that individual. And He did through these people, and He should through us today too. The writer says that He makes our paths straight. Men and women have to be willing to accept God's help and to give God the credit for a job well done. I just want to toss this out and have you think about this, because it's something that I just thought about. Should we start anything, any project at all, without the Lord being involved in it? We shouldn't. We should not start any project, anything that we do, that the Lord is not involved in. And then when we're done with it, we give Him the praise. So we lean on God's understanding. The writer says that it is healing and refreshment to us. Good, clean living should bring a clear conscience and should bring every one of us absolutely no regrets in life. And if done right, it might even help us with our mental health, maybe even our physical health. James chapter 4. We are to humble ourselves before the Lord in order to be exalted by Him. We are to recognize that the Lord directs our lives, and for us to claim anything different is unwise. The scriptures often point to this me mind. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, this me attitude led these people, and unfortunately today still leads people to reject God and to live in their sins. And the writer says that their hearts were darkened. They weren't open to the understanding to the Word of God. In Romans chapter 6, very lengthy, let me bring it down a little bit. Paul says that as a Christian, we must present ourselves to God as a servant, one that is totally committed to obedience. And those who choose to serve sin instead plainly says that they are going to be condemned and do so because of their me attitude. James chapter 1. James explicitly says here that sin begins with the allurement according to one's own desire. That's me. There are many examples of the Bible also that we can use to show this me attitude. I'm only going to give you four examples, two from the Old Testament and two from the New. Israel in the period of the Judges, we brought that up in Bible study with Mike. In Judges chapter 17 and again in chapter 21, the writer says, every man in Israel did what was right in his own eyes. In other words, it was a free-for-all. There was a big, fat me parade. There was no one to call anyone to account. No punishment. This, in turn, led to unauthorized practices. Just a couple of examples. Remember the man Micah, who had a silver idol of Yahweh that he worshipped. We had men becoming priests that had absolutely no authority to become priests. This in turn led to the abandonment of God. And they worshiped Baal and Ashtaroth. We studied Judges many, many months ago. It was a great study. And I'll reiterate that the entire judge cycle was one of disobedience because of me doing right in my eyes. Because of that disobedience, the oppression that was put on the people, again, because of me. People realizing their faults, couldn't put up with it anymore, repented. God, in His nature, sent a deliverer by way of a judge. Peace and prosperity abounded. And then the beatitude came in again, disobedience, and that whole cycle started up again. Based on, they did what was right in their own eyes. The me attitude. How about Jeroboam? Jeroboam said in his heart, you know, these people might go back to Israel, to Jerusalem, to the temple. You know what? They might want to rejoin Judah. And you know what? They might want to try to kill me. So you know what? Let me make it more convenient for them. So he instituted what I'll call a state religion, designed to meet his people's needs for their convenience and his own need to retain his power. Therefore, he established those unauthorized temples and the service to those temples. Jeroboam was not content. He was not willing to trust simply what God had told him and what God had promised him. And this is what God had promised them. Then it shall be, if you heed all that I command you, walk in my ways, and do what is right in my sight. T. to keep my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build for you an enduring house, as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you." Instead, he reverted back to Judges. He did what was right in his own eyes, and not of that of God. Because of that, Israel was carried away by its sin, was delivered into captivity. How about in the New Testament? Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. They wanted to do what the other disciples were doing. Sell their property, put that money at the feet of the apostles so they could use it for those who were less fortunate. But they kept some back. Who did that appeal to? Me? Yet they did not want to give the appearance that they were supporting their me. And so they lied. And because of that deception, not the act of keeping some money back, they perished. Simon Magus. Simon was once considered a great man in Samaria because of his magic. Then Philip came with the power of the Holy Spirit. And after him, Peter and John came. And all of a sudden, Simon wanted to buy this ability to give others that Holy Spirit. And you see in verse 20 that Peter rebuked him. It's because Simon allowed his me to miss the path, to miss what God wanted him to do. I could have used the me of David and Bathsheba. I could have used the me of King Saul trying to kill David. I could have used the example of Nebuchadnezzar, where you read and everything was, "I did this and I did that." Use the example of the Pharisees, the me of the Pharisees, trying to destroy Jesus. By these few examples, and by the scriptures that I had prior to, it's clear that we are not supposed to live according to me. How can we avoid this? Well, number one, understand that it is not within us to direct our own steps. Jeremiah points that out very directly to us. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 1. Men and women put forward their wishes, but God answers as He thinks is proper. God does not want us because of our worldly attributes and abilities. He wants us because we are willing to be molded into His image. Proverbs 16 and verse 9. We may plan what we want to do, but ultimately, God determines whether it's going to happen or not. Proverbs 20 and verse 24. If Jesus is our Lord, then everything that happens to us, be it good, be it bad, has to get a thumbs up from Him. He is the one who okays it. So it boils down that men and women do their best if they let God direct their ways. There was an old writer. I Googled him. I could not find his name. But he wrote this. I found it very interesting. "They who will carve for themselves shall cut their fingers." That's why you have God to assist us. And so to succeed in eliminating me, we must, in the past 3 weeks, verify that with the lessons that Dan brought in our 21 days of a prayer challenge. Number one, we have to acknowledge. Acknowledge the influences that culture, maybe parents, peers, education, and all the other factors have on us. And we have to be able to see that. We have to be able to be aware of them. And when we do that, we're able to compare and contrast that to the Word of God. That is part of the show me. Second is service. Our lives should be known for their service, both to God and to men. And the more selfless that we become in that service, the less likely we are to live for me. That is part of break me. And number three, to submit. Submit to God in all things, thoughts, feelings, action. If we do that, we'll truly serve Him and not our own claim to what we think God wants us to do. That is part of use me. Show me, break me, use me. Those are three great sermons on three great topics. Jesus never allowed His me to supersede the will of the Father. Even at His most tempted time in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the end, it was the will of the Father, not the me of Jesus, that was done. And as Jesus never allowed His me to distract Him from the will of the Father, so we shouldn't allow our me to get us off that path of righteousness. We have to serve God and not serve me today, tomorrow, and always. Randy, how many verses of the invitation song? All four? Perfect. We always say when it comes to all of our songs, as we sing, read the words. They say a lot. I asked Randy to lead this song, because it tells of a person that did not need God. And under that case, it was all of me and none of God. And then that person saw the light, saw that something was missing in their lives, that he needed God. And it slowly turned to some of me and some of God. Then as this individual continued to grow in grace and knowledge, it became less of me and more to God. And then as a mature Christian, none of me and all to God. That is what each and every one of us here should be striving for. It takes time. It takes patience. And most importantly, it takes prayer. I had 21 days of a prayer challenge. And most of those prayers were trying to eliminate me and putting our lives totally in God's hands. We can ask God for the Spirit that dwells in our hearts. It was put there by Jesus when we were baptized. Tell that Spirit to well itself up when we see the ugly me starting to present itself. And I guarantee you, because I've done this, I've asked it many, many months ago, and when I feel the me coming forward, that Spirit goes, And it's up to you to recognize that. Pull yourself back. It works. Just ask me. And so this morning, can we help someone get on that path of righteousness? Or get back on that path of righteousness? Do what's right in the eyes of God and not in the eyes of me. If we can help you with that, we ask you to come forward as we stand and we sing the invitation song.
Please.